Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you for your word, which guides us and blesses us and gives meaning to our lives. May we take what is read and may it be helpful and useful. May all that we say and do be glorifying to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, you know, Marlou and I celebrated our second anniversary on May 14th. Year two. It's not the terrible twos. But the, what was that? But it was May 14th, we did the private ceremony, and of course on June 30th, it was with all of you, right? Before that, I got engaged, and I remember I was talking to Bien. You all know Bien, right? And he can say some pretty wild, off-the-wall, crazy things. And so he asked me this question. He said, "Are you prepared?" And that was a serious question, and it was a valid question. And when he asked me, "Are you prepared?" I said, "Kind of." And then when I think about it now, not really. I had no way. I remember going through that time, and my tenant up at the house where I lived moved out. I didn't even give notice. I didn't say, "Okay, you know, I'm getting married, time to move out, and here's your notice." They just moved out on their own, and then there's a lot of trash around the house, and I will always remember Gary coming up to help me take the trash out of the shed, trimming those wild bushes and doing yard work, and him helping me carry the furniture into the house. That was the outside of the house, and then on the inside, it was... Well, I decided not. I wasn't going to paint. I wasn't going to decorate. It was like a monastery in there. It was like minimalist. It was single guy, very plain. Now, if you take a picture now versus before, it would be completely shocking to you. There was not much furniture. There was not much decorations. There was no plants, hardly any plants at all. And blank walls. Now, if you look inside the house, what you will see is no blank walls. I mean, it's like hanging all over. There's lots of more furniture, throw rugs, what a revelation, curtains, and candlesticks. Before Marlou, there was no candlesticks. Now there are several sets of candlesticks. I don't know, is it a woman thing, candlesticks? I guess so. Yeah. I mean, the only candles I have at home are those Christmas Eve candles, you know what I mean? Those leftovers, and that's only for emergencies. And the biggest thing that there's different now in the house are pillows. Like before, there was only one pillow in the whole house. Now there are like five on the bed. There's like three on the couch. It's like pillows, lots of pillows. As one comedian was saying, you could have a pillow show in your house, you know, just all these pillows. Clocks in every room, plants all over the porch, lamps, baskets. And so, was I prepared? No way, I wasn't prepared. I will remember, if I look at each of you, I could think of the ways in which you helped me prepare for the wedding. Going shopping downtown LA, helping Marlou with that, the runner, how long that took, the video, and I'm just sure a lot of other ways in which you all helped, and I will remember that. During the next month, we'll be trying to prepare for the new pastor, your new minister. What can we do to prepare the way for her? And so the passage that Leah read from Isaiah 40 is frequently it's read during Advent, like you're anticipating the birth of Jesus. But I've also read it at funerals and memorials. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, for she has paid her iniquity is removed. She is received from the Lord's hand. Prepare the way of the Lord. A voice cries out in the wilderness. Let every valley be lifted up, every mountain made low, and the rough places plain. And all flesh will see it together. Cry out." And I said, "Well, what shall I cry out? That all flesh is grass, like the flower of the field. The grass withers and fades, but the word of the Lord endures." So John the Baptist is quoting this from Isaiah chapter 40. He is saying to them, your leader is here. All those things that were written about 2,000 years ago is now. The valleys will be lifted up, mountains made low, and the rough places plain. Or as Handel's Messiah says, the crooked made straight. Now, this is all symbolic language. It's not literal language, right? It has to do with spiritual, emotional. Because we ask ourselves, what are the rough places of our church? What are the rocky paths? What are the low valleys of our church? And what are the high mountains of our church? What is a crooked place that we need to straighten out in preparation for the new pastor to come? Well, one of the difficulties is that of finances. That's one of the rocky, rough. Remember, over the past 2 years, we had deficits, and we had questions about the loan, about the organ, and our just general fund, and what do we do about it? And so we had to sell the parsonage, and we're going to use part of that money for the organ. And that's kind of smoothing that out, making that path straight. Well, the good news is that finances are good through the first 6 months or 5 months, and our income for the general budget has exceeded our expenses. So that path is going smooth right now. That path is straight. What can we do then to keep preparing? Well, we can keep giving, and we can keep being generous, and we can keep supporting financially as we trust that a new leadership is coming in. What other difficulties, though, have we encountered? What really are the valleys of our church, and what is the mountain and hill? Well, the way I'm thinking about it has to do with our worship services. The valley, I think, is our first service and our third service, in that it is low. It is not really growing. It is not really expanding. The mountain seems to be, the hill seems to be the middle service. Last Sunday, we took in 7 new members. They are growing. They are increasing. They're on the rise. Not by leaps and bounds, but they're increasing a little bit. But the passage is talking about a leveling. The valley lifted up and the mountain made low. Now, how is it possible, if you're thinking literally, how is it possible to lift up a valley? And how is it possible to make a mountain low? I mean, the only way to make a valley higher is to pile more dirt in it or to pile more things in it. And the only way to make a mountain low is to put dynamite to it or to grade it or to bulldoze it. So I don't think that the scripture is really talking about literal, numerical things, but it has to do with metaphors and symbols. Perhaps a way to understand this is that there is equal respect, there is equal affection, there is a reverence for all of them, and there is a proper treatment. And that's how we can prepare the way for the new pastor, if all the groups work to get along. And for the middle service, which is the mountain, to be humbled and to be helpful, to give value, to give worth. And so the sermon, in that sense, is more to the second service than this service. Now, if you remember John the Baptist, he was saying, before he said all this, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, the word, the Greek word repent is metanoia, and I've mentioned it before. What metanoia means is if you're going in one direction, suddenly you turn around and go the opposite direction that you were going in. So that's repenting, that's metanoia. And so if we are misdirected and our attitude's going a certain way, now is the time to turn around. Now is the time to change. We can ask ourselves, how can we support the new pastor? How can we support the church? How can we support other people instead of criticizing them or attacking or judging? How can we build someone up and talk about them in a positive light instead of saying, oh, look at the faults, or oh, look at the weaknesses, or oh, look at the failures? How can we improve, and how can we repent of that part that's harmful or hurtful or detrimental? Part of that also is our attitude towards the pastor. How can we reach out to the new pastor? How can we be proactive with the new pastor instead of waiting for the new pastor to talk to us or reach out to us? Marlou and I attended this transition workshop for 2 days, and the district superintendent, his name was Cedric Bridgeforth, and he described the Methodist Church and the pastor in this way. He says, the Methodist Church and their pastor, you're in an arranged marriage. There's no dating. You don't get to choose your pastor, and the pastor doesn't get to choose you, but it's an arranged marriage. The bishop brings you together. The superintendents discuss and discern and pray. So it's going to be like a new marriage. And so you think, for those of you who are married, how did you make your marriage work? How did you help to make things smoother? How did you help to make things go straighter? What Marlou and I discovered is, in order to make it work, we need to be interested in what the other is interested in. All of a sudden, I'm interested in decorating the house. I'm interested in her colors. I'm interested in her styles. I never saw that before. I never was interested. Suddenly, I'm interested in thrift stores. I never used to be. But now it's like I'm driving down the road and I see yard sale. Yeah, I get excited as much as she does. Is she interested in football? Well, not quite yet, but we're working on that. Bike rides, yeah, that too. I still just have to get that going. Well, but the point I'm trying to make is that when your new pastor comes, be interested in what she's interested in. And she will be interested in what you're interested in. And I'm sure in learning what you're interested in, she will help you. She will challenge you. She will know how to best serve you and help you. And so give her grace, give her patience, be open-minded. In that passage when John the Baptist, if you remember, he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and he was coming forward, and at that point, John the Baptist stepped back. And he said, it's now time for me to give way to the one who was being prepared. And in the same way, at that time, Marlou and I will step back, and your new pastor will be your new pastor. And so I encourage you to receive her, and when this happens, the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all shall see it together. And you'll be going on a new path and a new journey, a new marriage. So it's something to be excited about. It's a new hope. Amen? Amen.